So we are going to continue in our series in Luke chapter 6. But Rodney said a couple weeks ago, he said, here in River City, we go verse by verse through books of the Bible so that we don't skip over any hard passages and we don't skip over any easy passages. And so as I started looking at this passage that Austin read for us this morning, 43 through 49, I was like, you know, this is a pretty straightforward passage. How wrong was I? Pretty straightforward. Because as you know, as with most scripture, the more you look at it, the deeper it gets. The deeper it gets. And you know, this happened with my wife also. Very first time I met Kif, I thought, yep, she's cute. And that's right where I was at. Yep, she's cute. 28 and a half years later, I'm still discovering that there's so much more to her than just her cuteness. Eh? And then, good, thank you. Some might argue that I'm a slow learner. And I probably am. Along the same theme of Scripture being deeper than we actually, than our first take, Paul Tripp, author and speaker, said this. He said, you will find yourself going back again and again to passages that had previously taught you, only to realize that they are so deep that they have many more fresh and new things to teach you. None of us knows everything that the Bible has to teach us. If you think you have mastered this book, it probably means you haven't been mastered by it. If you think you've mastered it, then you probably haven't been mastered by it. So last week, just a little review, a little recap of last week. Rodney talked about a few things. Jesus in Luke 6, which is where we're going to pick up this morning. Jesus is teaching his disciples, hey, these are things to look for. These are qualities of a leader that you want to follow. And he did say the first thing is you want to judge, you want to discern your leader. And so Rodney gave us an illustration last week. Who can tell me what that illustration was as far as what judging means, what actual, the process of judging? It was coffee. Very good. Summer coffee beans. The process of when beans are picked, they're drying, somebody comes along and picks out the bad ones, leaves the good ones, and that process is called judging or discerning. And so we're actually called to judge, to discern, to be wise. We're also called not to be blind and to blindly follow somebody that might lead us off into a ditch, off the cliff. And so we need to be wise. We don't want to be blind. Also, we don't want to follow somebody that is a self-righteous leader, one who can't see the beam in his own eye, which I don't know how you don't see it when it's sticking out. And as you turn, it's hitting everybody in front of you. But somebody that's not self-righteous and he can't see the beam in the own eye, the only thing he can see is a speck of sawdust that is in your eye or somebody else's eye. So be careful who you are following after, because you don't want to follow after somebody like that, nor do you want to be like that. He did tell us that we need to be professional repenters. Okay? Professional repenters. So to repent means to turn away from, to turn away from something and go the opposite direction. And so we want to become very good at, become professionals at repenting. Coming to the Lord and saying, Lord, I've messed up again. I've sinned, I've failed, I've fallen short. Please continue to reveal to me the areas in my life that I've not yielded over to you. I confess my sin, and then I continue to follow after Jesus. We are to become professional repenters. He has reconciled us. Christ has reconciled us back to God, meaning he brought us back into a right relationship because we weren't in a right relationship with God. But now we have been brought back into a right relationship because of Christ and because of the work that he did for us. And now God has given us that ministry, that opportunity to reconcile others back to him, to be the mouthpiece for God. God does not need us, but he's allowing us to be the mouthpiece for him, and he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. Okay? So that is why we need to be professional repenters, people that have humbled ourselves before God. We've confessed our sin. We're not walking in any known sin. We're walking after Christ, following after Christ, because he has said that we are to come alongside each other. And if we've got sin in our life, that's difficult to do. We then cross that bridge and become a little self-righteous. But when we're humble before the Lord, we've gone before the Lord, we've confessed our sin before the Lord, he forgives us our sin, and we are able to come alongside one another, even those that are walking in sin. And you say, well, I can't go to somebody else because I've got issues in my own life. Yeah, we do. We're not perfect. But we're humble, and we've confessed our sin before the Father, and when the Spirit gives us opportunity and leads us to, then we can go to a brother and say, hey, look, have you considered this? Or I see that you might be discouraged. And we can encourage one another. That is why we are professional repenters. Okay, so this morning we're going to look at 43 to 49. We're going to talk about trees, plants, roots, houses, rocks, and sand. Okay? But first let's pray and ask the Lord to guide and direct our thoughts. Father, thank you again so much for the opportunity we have this morning to come together, to look at your word. Lord, just speak clearly through me this morning so that you might be honored and glorified in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen. All right, the words are going to be up on the screen, but I'm going to read 43, 44, and 45 again. So this is what 43 says. A good tree doesn't produce bad fruit. On the other hand, a bad tree doesn't produce good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. Figs aren't gathered from thorn bushes, or grapes picked from a bramble bush. A good person produces good out of the good stored up in his heart. An evil person produces evil out of the evil stored up in his heart. For his mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart. You see what I mean? At first glance, it's like, oh man, this is an easy passage. Let's pray and go home. We are to bear good fruit. But man, the more you look at this, it's like, oh Lord, where are we going to go with this? So in this teaching, in this parable, Jesus makes a reference to a fig tree and a grape. And here in Iowa, we don't have too many figs. Okay, my son spent some time in the Middle East, and he said there's figs everywhere. They eat figs for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and snacks in between. Here in Iowa, we don't have a whole lot of fig trees. We do have some vineyards. We've got some grapes. But we know we do have a lot of. We have a lot of corn and soybean. So this is something more familiar to all of you. Maybe you're not a farmer. Maybe you are a farmer. But I'm going to ask the question, and just looking and knowing an ear of corn and a pot of soybeans, can a pot of soybeans grow on a stalk of corn? Yes or no? Can it? Not genetically. I'm not talking genetically. I'm just talking physically. Can soybeans grow on a stalk of corn? I would say yes, in the sense that the corn stalk is physically strong enough to hold a pod of soybeans, and it could hold many. So going down that same road, can a soybean plant produce an ear of corn? No. Ear of corn grows up on a soybean plant, what's going to happen? The plant's going to fall over. It's not strong enough. It wasn't designed to do that. And that's what Jesus is talking about here in this parable. And this goes all the way back to the beginning also. In Genesis 1, God said, everything will produce of its kind. A tree will produce, an apple tree will produce an apple. An orange tree will produce an orange. Human will produce a human, an animal. Each thing is to reproduce of its own kind. Warren Wiersbe says this, author and speaker, teacher, preacher, fruit is always true of character. Fruit is always true of character. An apple for an apple tree, not an orange. A good person produces good fruit, not evil. Fruit is always consistent with the root of the tree or the plant. The fruit is consistent with the root of the tree or the plant. So the fruit is consistent with the root. Fruit, root. That's where my mind went. Fruit, root. Just fruit is consistent with the root. Easy to remember. Okay? So Jesus is saying we are known by our fruit. Okay? That's our privilege, our responsibility. We are known by our fruit. Does that mean that we don't sin? So if we're just to bear good fruit, does that mean we don't ever sin? No. I think everybody in the room could attest to that one. We sin, we fall short. But is our witness, is the witness of our words, the witness of our actions consistently pointing to Christ? Yes. As a believer, yes. Not perfect, but we are growing. We are maturing. However, Jeremiah 17:9 says something different. So let me read this for you real quick. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is more deceitful than anything else and incurable. Who can understand it?" So how can good fruit come from a deceitful heart? How can good fruit come from a deceitful heart? Great question. The answer is 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation." He is a new creation. "Old has passed away, and see, the new has come." We are in Christ. If you place your faith in Christ and the work, his work on the cross for your salvation, you've received that, you've been born again, all of this terminology, then you are in Christ. And in Christ, you are a new creation. Old has passed away. You now have the Spirit of God living inside of you, empowering you to bear good spiritual fruit. Okay? The Spirit of God now empowers you to bear good spiritual fruit. What is this fruit, you ask? Thank you. Another great question. Galatians 5:22 and 23. And before I read it, I'm going to say this. Fruit is singular in Galatians 5:22, talking about the fruit of the Spirit. All of these things that I'm going to say encompass the fruit of the Spirit, because all of these things make up the character of God. It is singular. So it's not something, well, I'm patient today and tomorrow maybe I'll be kind. No, we are all of this because that is who God is. So Galatians 5:22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." But you say, I'm not that. I don't walk in that all the time. I don't live there all the time. And I'm here telling you, I don't live there all the time. Why? Because I'm not a professional. Because I am a professional repenter. Because there are times in my life where I fall short. We all fall short. We don't walk in the power of the Spirit in a given moment. And we fall short. And that is when we get on our knees, we go back to the Lord, we say, "Lord, continue to do your work in my heart, search my heart, that you might reveal to me the areas of my own life that I have not yielded over to you yet, that I have not submitted over to you yet, and help me to walk in those ways." Here's a couple more ways to help us. In verse 45, he says, "A good person produces good out of the good stored up in his heart." The word "store" is an action verb. The word "store" is something we have to do. And all through Scripture, God gives us things that we have to do. All through the New Testament, we're to be active doing. And here we are to be storing up good. Okay? So you say, how do we do that? Romans 12:2. "Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is good and pleasing and the perfect will of God." by renewing our minds, by renewing our minds, by making new. To renew means to make new. All right? We renew our minds with the Word of God. We're reading the Word of God. We're praying the Word of God. We're studying the Word of God. We're talking about the Word of God with other believers, in fellowship with other believers. We're renewing our minds with the Word of God. Second one, Philippians 4:8, which is just like the first, but it's always nicer to have 2 points instead of just one. So the second one, Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's anything of moral excellence, and if there's anything praiseworthy, then dwell on these things. And I love the word dwell, because the word dwell means to live. To live here. Jesus says, this is where we are to live. This is where we are to fix our thoughts on. Because there will be times when things like that are not like these, when fear and anger come in. But if our eyes are fixed on one, Jesus, and also the Word of God, and we're thinking about these things, things that are good and honorable and pleasing to God, that is how we renew our minds. That is how we store up good works. I was born in 1968, November. My teen years kind of fell into the 80s. Okay, so I know I'm on camera and I'm in front of all of you as well, but I like 80s music. I'll just confess, I like 80s music, all right? Not all of it, but some of it. I mean, there was some... Never mind. But even in that, we have to judge. We have to actually pick out the bad and leave the good. Because I don't listen to all of it. You can ask me about that later. I don't listen to all of it. But I don't renew my mind with 80s music. I don't renew my mind with 80s music. On my phone, I've got a couple playlists that most every morning, I'm not going to say every, because as soon as I say every, then I'll probably won't do it tomorrow. But most mornings when time allows, just in case this happens to get back to my bosses, when time allows, I play these songs on these playlists. And these songs are ones that they point me back to Jesus. They sing of his goodness. They sing of his faithfulness. They sing of the cross. And they sing of the grace of God on my behalf, which draws me back and focuses my attention on what he has done for me. Which then, as life happens during the day, I'm reminded of God's goodness in my life. And if I just listened to my 80s music in the mornings, that wouldn't happen. I wouldn't have that foundation. I wouldn't have that good stored up. And so most every morning, and I'm not saying you've got to listen to music, and I'm not saying that music is scripture. I'm just saying these are things that I do to help keep my mind focused, to store up good so that there's good there. One author puts it this way, bear the fruit that befits your repentance. Again, repentance is, in this situation, he's talking about the repentance that happened at salvation, the moment we placed our faith in Christ and we were saved. So he says, now bear fruit that represents or is fitting to your repentance. So now we've turned away from our sin and we're following Christ. And now he's saying, so bear fruit that represents Christ. Bear fruit that represents Christ. Why? And this is back to verse 45, the very end of 45. He says, for his mouth speaks from the overflow of his heart. His mouth speaks from the overflow of his heart. We want to have good stored up. We need to take action as believers. We can't just passively sit by and let life happen to us. We need to be active. We need to be in the Word of God. We need to be thinking right thoughts, focusing our attention on what is true and honorable, because out of our heart, out of the treasury of our hearts, we speak what is there. And so when we can store up good, then God gets the glory. Okay, verse 46 through 49. Let's read these. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things I say? I will show you what someone is like who calls me, hears my words, and acts on them. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on rock. When the flood came, the river crashed against the house and couldn't shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears and does not act is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The river crashed against it, and immediately it collapsed, and the destruction of the house was great. Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do what I say? The double emphasis was, hey, pay attention in the Hebrew. Hey, pay attention. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do what I'm saying? We don't normally, you go around calling somebody Lord. I mean, my wife calls me Master. I'm just not. She calls me Lord, Lord. We don't normally use that term today. So here is a term that we use today about coach. Coach. My son-in-law, Justin, who I thought was going to be here this morning, but he's not even here. I can't even make fun of him. My son-in-law, Justin Barthelman, he coaches. He coaches several sports, and right now he's coaching basketball. Okay, so he is a basketball coach. He's coaching people how to win, for one, but how to play the game, how to form an offense and different plays to run an offense, how to play defense so the other team doesn't score. And so that is what a coach does. A coach teaches. A coach disciples. All right? So then over here we have Preston Yetzi, again, not even here today. So my illustrations are falling flat. But Jackson is here. So we've got Preston and Jackson who play basketball, okay? And Justin, who just illustration-wise, Justin is their coach. And they go to practice, and they learn how to play basketball. So it looks. So we're at a game. Justin and Jackson are sitting on the bench, and pretty soon they're looking down the bench at coach, and they're saying, "Coach, coach, Lord, Lord, coach, put me in. I want to play." So eventually, Justin calls a timeout, goes over some plays, and he puts the two boys in. Jackson inbounds the ball to Preston. And then Jackson runs up and, well, they just start pass practice. They just start passing the ball back and forth to each other. They're working on their chest passes, bounce passes, maybe a left-hand pass, a right-hand pass. And they're not doing what they were just coached to do. They're just out there doing what they want to do. They're not playing as a team. They're not running the offense. They're not doing as he coached them to do. They're doing their own thing. That's exactly what Jesus was saying. He said, you're calling me Lord, 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 but you're actually not even doing anything that I'm telling you to do. And the illustration he gives is this. The person that does do what I tell them is like a person who builds a house on a firm foundation. They dig down. They build it on rock. Storms of life come. The waters come. The winds come. The house is just fine because it's built well. It's built on obedience. But then there's the other one, the foolish one, that gets the same instruction, but he builds it on sand. And the rains come and the winds come and the house falls flat. The houses look the same from the outside. One was built on rock, the other was built on sand, but the houses look the same. But they were not grounded on the same foundation. They were not grounded on the same foundation. From a distance, you'd assume that they were the same. It's what's below the surface that makes a difference. It's what was below the surface that made the difference. One is built on rock, the other one on sand. The storm that came revealed the difference. The storm revealed the difference of what they were built on. In the same way, there are people whose lives look similar. There's Christians whose lives look very, very similar. You know, they decorate their houses with Christian signs that says, pray, give thanks always. I mean, they're in our house. I'm just speaking from experience. They go to church together. They might even come to River City. And I was going to use the one they drive the same Christian car. But then the debate is, what is the Christian car? Is it the Ford? Or is it a Subaru? I mean, who knows? They sing the same songs. They stand beside us and they're singing the same songs of praise. They sit underneath the same teaching. But the faith of one is real and the faith of the other one is not. And the storms that inevitably come reveal whether or not their faith was genuine. The storms of life reveal whether or not their faith was genuine. The storm reveals whether our hope is in God or is our hope in what you think God will do for you. Is your hope in God or in what God might do for you? The storm reveals our foundational beliefs, why we believe what we believe. Are you grounded in obedience to Jesus, or do you just look like you are? You're just one of those that go through the motions, but you're not truly grounded in obedience. Verse 47, Jesus says, the one with the solid foundation is the one who comes to me, hears my words, and acts on them. He's saying, not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord is going to enter heaven. Not everyone that's going to call me Lord, Lord is going to go to heaven. I am not standing up here preaching a different gospel. I am not standing up here preaching a gospel of works. We are saved by grace through faith, and that will not change. We are saved by believing Christ as our Savior and trusting in his work alone to save us. But the kind of faith that saves is faith that is built on the foundation of gospel truth, and gospel truth changes lives. The gospel changes lives. Jesus changes lives. And that's what he's saying. Obedience to my word will change your life. Obedience to my word will change your life. God looks at your life as a better indicator. Again, this is not scriptural. This is just a saying. God looks at your life as a better indicator of what you believe rather than your mouth. He looks at your actions. Does your life say Jesus is Lord? If I was to ask your spouse, if I was to ask your children, does your life say Jesus is Lord, that I am a follower of Jesus? What about if I was to ask your coworkers, people that you go to work with, but you don't really go to church with, and so it's a little bit safer to act differently at work than it is at church. Would they say that your life reflects that Jesus is Lord? Colossians 2, 6 and 7. So then, just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to walk in him, being rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, and overflowing with gratitude. If we are rooted and built up in him, our fruit will be good. Our fruit will be good. And we will be able to withstand the storms that life brings us. We are not perfect. We will fall. We will fail. We will even turn back when tempted to sin. And we will give in because we are human. And in those moments, we turn and we repent. Thank God for his forgiveness, confess our sin, and then begin to walk in obedience again. And that is process of sanctification, of growing in the Lord. Okay, there's three pictures left that I would like us to look at. The first two represent a house that you should not that will not weather a storm. This is a place that will not weather a storm. That is my wife standing inside there. In 1995, we went through some training, some missionary training, and this was in Durant, Mississippi. Part of our training was to build a place to live in the woods for 6 weeks. And they give us 5 days to construct the house. And so we have a lot. We get the bamboo, we get the plastic, we go out there, and we construct this house in 5 days. And then we live in it for 6 weeks. Central Mississippi in July. So there's plastic around the bottom, so the water that does come when it rains runs around the house. There's plastic on the roof for when it does rain. Doesn't come in and soak everything. Soak some things, but not everything. And then the rest of it is mosquito netting, because two reasons. You're in Mississippi in the summer, and there's lots of mosquitoes, and so that the air can flow through, because you're in Mississippi in the summer. Okay? You can go to the next picture, about the same thing. Here's my wife on the couch that I built so she could sit, have some place to sit. So this is a place that is not going to withstand the storm, okay? Next picture shows us, though, something different. This house here in the front of the picture withstood a storm. Let me get the facts straight. This is Mexico Beach, Florida. Mexico Beach, Florida, Hurricane Michael, October of 18. And this house right here in the beginning, or right here in the front of the picture. The gentleman built that house with he buried pylons 40 feet in the ground. He built the house up off the ground so that the surge could go underneath it when the surge did come. He had reinforced concrete, steel, and cables, some special screw for hurricane something something, didn't get that one, hurricane windows. I didn't know there was hurricane windows, but I'm sure if you live in the hurricane zone, there's hurricane windows. So this house was built to withstand winds up to 250 miles an hour. Code at the time was 150. So he exceeded code by 100 miles an hour. And then Hurricane Michael came in October, and his house was standing, barely scathed, okay? And this is what the builder said. The builder said, I built this house with this storm in mind. I built this house, maybe not Hurricane Michael, but with a storm like Michael in mind. That's how he built his house. He went to all the extra work to reinforce it so the storm wouldn't knock it down. The music team can come forward if they would like. I'm going to close with this. The question for all of us, are we building our lives? Are we proactively building our lives securely on the rock, which the songs today we sang about Jesus being our rock, being our foundation? Are we building our lives securely on the rock, on a firm foundation, which is Jesus? Again, proactively, because as we all know, storms of life come, whether they're sicknesses, whether they're work issues, family issues, children issues, storms come, and however you want to define storm, the storms are inevitable because we live in a broken world. Are we proactively building our lives, strengthening our foundation on Jesus, so that when these storms come, our house does not crumble? Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the truth that is found, for the depth of the truth that is in every verse, every chapter in your word. And Father, as individuals and collectively as a body of Christ here in Riverside, Father, help us to walk in obedience. Help us to be obedient to your word. Help us to be storing up good fruit, Father God, so that we might be an encouragement and be a blessing to those around us, so that we can give to a community, to a lost world, the hope of Jesus. Father, help us to be proactive in all of this by renewing our minds, thinking on things that are true and lovely and honorable, because Father God, those are the things that you have given us, because you are true, and not because we are great builders, God, but because you are a great God, and because you love us dearly. So we pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.